Alexander Hamilton's life reads like an impossible fiction, a Caribbean orphan who became America's financial architect and Washington's right-hand man. Born out of wedlock in Nevis around 1755, Hamilton's childhood was defined by abandonment and tragedy. His father deserted the family early, and his mother died when he was just 13, leaving him truly alone in the world. While working as a clerk at a trading post in St. Croix, his mathematical brilliance and work ethic caught everyone's attention. When a devastating hurricane hit the island in 1772, Hamilton wrote such a powerful account that community leaders collected funds to send him to North America for education. What makes Hamilton's story so compelling isn't just that he overcame these obstacles, it's how he transformed disadvantages into stepping stones. Where others saw limitations, Hamilton saw opportunities. "I wish there was a war," he once wrote, revealing his burning ambition to prove himself on a larger stage. This wasn't mere opportunism, but a deep belief that merit should trump birth and privilege. Hamilton didn't just want personal success, he envisioned a nation where anyone with ability could rise regardless of origins. Have you ever wondered what separates those who merely survive hardship from those who use it as fuel for greatness? Hamilton's life offers a profound answer. It's not just resilience, but a refusal to accept artificial limitations. His journey reminds us that our beginnings don't determine our endings. While his peers played, Hamilton immersed himself in economics, military strategy, philosophy, and literature, not for leisure, but as deliberate self-education. Even during the Revolutionary War, he studied finance and governance in his tent, preparing for the nation-building ahead. His writing proved both prolific and persuasive. At 17, his A Full Vindication of the Measures of Congress demonstrated sophisticated political thinking that amazed readers. As the main author of the Federalist Papers, he produced 51 essays in 6 months, helping secure the Constitution's ratification. His writing style methodically addressed counterarguments by focusing on fundamental principles. Hamilton's approach to learning emphasizes depth over breadth, reading not merely to gather information, but to develop frameworks for solving real-world challenges. He read with purpose to transform ideas into action. Hamilton intuitively understood that talent alone isn't enough. Strategic relationships accelerate success. His relationship with George Washington exemplifies finding the right mentor. As Washington's aide-de-camp, Hamilton gained unprecedented access to military strategy and leadership at the highest level. Rather than merely following orders, he studied Washington's decision-making process, absorbing lessons about leadership and judgment. Even when Hamilton eventually left Washington's staff, yearning for battlefield glory, he maintained their connection with dignity. This proved wise when Washington later appointed him as the first Secretary of the Treasury. Similarly, Hamilton's marriage to Elizabeth Scheuer provided not just personal happiness, but social connections that advanced his career. The lesson here isn't cynical networking, but strategic relationship building based on genuine value exchange. Hamilton offered his mentors intelligence, loyalty, and fresh perspectives. They provided opportunities, wisdom, and platforms for his ideas. Think about your own career. Are you cultivating relationships with mentors who can elevate your thinking and open doors to new opportunities? Are you offering them real value in return? Even as a teenage clerk, Hamilton wrote to suppliers with the directness and authority of someone twice his age. He never apologized for his youth or inexperience. This self-assurance became one of his defining characteristics and set the foundation for his future success. During the Constitutional Convention, despite being one of the youngest delegates at 32, Hamilton delivered a remarkable 6-hour speech outlining his vision for America's government. His communication displayed several key techniques, using precise, action-oriented verbs, structuring arguments in logical progression, and employing rhetorical questions to engage his audience. Hamilton's authority wasn't based on bluster, but on deep knowledge and careful preparation. Before major speeches or essays, he immersed himself in relevant information, often spending weeks studying historical precedents, economic theories, and legal documents. During debates over the National Bank, he researched banking systems across Europe and wrote a 15,000-word report defending his position. How might your own communication change if you approached it with Hamilton's level of preparation and conviction? When is the last time you felt completely confident in your message because you had done exhaustive homework on the subject? Despite his humble origins and need for financial security, Hamilton consistently prioritized principles over profit. After the Revolutionary War, he could have built a lucrative law practice representing anyone willing to pay. Instead, he established a clear ethical framework, taking only cases he believed were just, even when unpopular. His defense of British loyalists after the Revolution exemplifies this approach. When many Americans wanted retribution against those who had supported the crown, Hamilton argued that honoring the peace treaty's protections for loyalists was both legally and morally necessary. These cases damaged his popularity, but reinforced his reputation for integrity. As Treasury Secretary, Hamilton faced countless opportunities for personal enrichment through insider knowledge, but maintained scrupulous ethical standards. When he left government service, he had less wealth than many contemporaries who had been less principled. In our world of ethical compromises and corner-cutting, Hamilton's example raises uncomfortable questions. What principles would you refuse to compromise, even at personal cost? What's the price of your integrity? Hamilton's genius lay in combining vision with meticulous execution. When creating the U.S. Mint, he mastered metallurgy to the point of expertly debating silver-to-gold ratios for coins. His Report on the Establishment of a Mint detailed everything from metal content to currency symbolism. This precision characterized all his work. For the Revenue Cutter Service, later the Coast Guard, he specified patrol boat dimensions, sail configurations, and crew requirements. During the Revolutionary War, his supply systems tracked resources from gunpowder to boot leather. Hamilton disproved the notion that leaders must choose between big-picture thinking and detail orientation. The Federalist Papers exemplified this, articulating broad constitutional principles while precisely defining procedural mechanisms. His legacy shows that mastering details isn't beneath great leadership. It's essential to transforming vision into reality. Hamilton's concept of honor, which ultimately led to his fatal duel with Aaron Burr, centered on maintaining public trust in government. This was evident when he chose to admit adultery in the Reynolds affair rather than let doubts about his financial integrity persist. Today's America bears Hamilton's clear imprint, from our financial system and industrial economy to our strong federal government and global military presence. His once controversial ideas have become foundational principles accepted across the political spectrum. Hamilton's legacy transcends specific policies. His rise from Caribbean orphan to founding father exemplifies how intelligence, principles, and determination can overcome disadvantages and transform institutions. His story continues to embody the American promise that talent can emerge from anywhere, inspiring new generations who see themselves in his journey.